welcome to go downstairs. Ages something, another, and down. It seems to change, so I don't know. You go, and if she doesn't want you, she'll kick you out. Yeah, how about that? Or she'll come back, yeah, and leave the kids with the older ones. Yeah. Yeah. We do have a few of the ladies that are off at the little house. They are preparing boxes and stuff like that for displaced persons from the fires and stuff like that. So just keep everyone in your prayers. You know, it's unprecedented is the words that I've heard of how many fires we have at one time going on through the province. So I've heard reports that there is rain happening in the key areas at this moment. So we just pray that that will continue and that the firefighters will be able to maintain their strength and endurance to do what they need to do. And pray for protection for all the people. And even for our area, it's very dry out there. The forecast this morning was for rain this afternoon. I don't know when that's supposed to start, but they said 11, so we have 3 minutes. How are we all? Good? Good? Nods everywhere? Mostly? Mostly? Yes? Nods? Nods? Smiles, at least. Yeah. Saw a post today that said, or the other day, I should say, that said, let your face know that you're happy. So turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. And be prepared. Your fingers must be ready to do a lot of walking. I gave the list to Terrell for the scriptures, and he looked at it and said, whoa, I better get these going in the computer. So we will have that on the screen, because I might not be giving you time to turn, because we do want to get out of here before games night. Psalm 24. Psalm 24. I'll take a drink of water, because I'll try not to stop. Are you there? The Lord, nope, that's the wrong one. That's 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a good one, too. Do you want me to preach on that? No, let's do the other one. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Father, as we read in your word, you are the King of glory. And Lord, as we pause and reflect on what this all means today, may you have the glory in this place. Amen and amen. I want to focus on four verses here, on 3-6. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. The first part of verse 3 says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? And so I want to take a few moments and explain to you what the hill of the Lord is. It could be looked at as Mount Zion. In fact, I think that's what was referred to as Mount Zion, which is a mountain just in Jerusalem where the temple was built. And it is a key place in regards to the Jewish faith, and it's a key place in regards to the Christian faith, but not necessarily the same as the Jewish faith. Because, as you know, Mount Zion is now no longer in Jewish control. It is under Muslim control. The temple that was built on Mount Zion was destroyed twice. The first time by the Assyrians, I believe it was, or the Persians maybe, maybe even the Babylonians. But it was destroyed and then rebuilt by Ezra and Nehemiah. And then the second temple was destroyed in AD 70 under the Roman rule. And so now what is there is not the temple. It is the Dome of the Rock, a Muslim sanctuary. And so in the Christian faith, Mount Zion is a little bit different. It is actually a typology, a symbol of salvation is what it is. So turn with me, if you will, or watch on the screen, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 24. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. Let's just stop there for a moment. So that is talking about Mount Sinai, which some people say is Mount Zion, but it's actually a different location. But it's also a holy mountain that God visited with Moses on. And on this mountain, the law was given. And on this mountain, it was said that, this is where it gets a little, I don't want to use the word strange or weird, but it's Moses goes up the mountain, but yet it says that if any man or beast touches the mountain, then they will die. And it's because of the purity. They need to be purified before they go to Mount Sinai. And the same thing was said in regards to the temple. You couldn't go into the temple on Mount Zion unless you were purified, unless you were clean. That's why it says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord, who may stand in the holy place? He who has a clean hands and pure heart. Now, we know all about clean hands right now, don't we? Just look around the room. There is 7 bottles of hand sanitizer in this room here, plus more around the church. Over the last 4 years, we've basically gotten accustomed to hand sanitizer everywhere. So we all have clean hands, right? Well, those of us who use it still. But now let's go to the verse 22 there. So that's the one mountain, the mountain where the law was given. But you have come. Now, if you have your Bibles open or your iPads, highlight have come because you are already there. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So what happened here is Jesus, if you read in Hebrews before this, Jesus went into the spiritual temple, the real temple, because it says that the one that was made on earth was a shadow of it. There was a blueprint in heaven based on the actual temple that God had built in his throne room. And then Jesus, when he died, he went there with his blood and he sprinkled all the furnishings and the temple and made it pure. Now, it is saying that this verse is saying that we have come to that Mount Zion. We have come to this place. How did we come to this place? Because it's what is Mount Zion? Well, let's let's look at different places where it talks about Mount Zion. And I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 60. And this is a big portion of Scripture. It's 22 verses. Bear with me. It's much better to hear the Word of God than it is to hear the Word of man. Even when man is preaching from the Word of God. So yes, lots of Scriptures today. But we're preaching from the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. Now you have to understand this entire chapter has so many allusions to salvation. And so when you read these things, you look at it and you're like, you shall see and you will be radiant. How many of you remember your salvation? You now see and you were radiant. There's a lot of people who will tell you that you have a different look about you, almost like you're glowing when you've become saved. Anyhow, where was I? That was verse 5. Verse 6. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and they shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastlands shall hope for me, the ships of Tarshish. First, say that like a lot of times, the ships of Tarshish. How come you're not trying it? Come on now. To bring for your children from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God. So all of these things are being given to us. Why? For the name of the Lord your God. You have on you, because of salvation, the name of the Lord your God. It doesn't mean that you're going to have a ton of camels coming to you, or goats, or all this stuff. It's a allegory. It's a symbol of things that are. It's just so much stuff comes in regards to what you feel, in regards to your emotions, in regards to everything. It's like so amazing. And for the Holy One of Israel, because he has made you beautiful. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I've had mercy on you. Your gates shall be open continually. Arise, shine, for the Lord has come. Right? The glory of the Lord has shone upon you, and your gates shall be open continually. Where did we hear that just a few moments ago? Psalm 24. Open up ye gates, for the King of glory has come in. Salvation. A day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low to you, and all who despised you shall bow down at your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Hebrews chapter 12. I have come to Mount Zion. I am there. Why? Because the Lord has called me the city of the Lord. They have called me Zion. I am there. It's salvation. It's well, to me it's clear. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck in the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders, and shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Just think of this. It's not talking literally. It's talking about what we have inside of us, what we have in the spirit realm. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. I could go into a whole message on this itself. The sun and moon in scripture, in prophecy, in your, whatever you call it, symbolic writings of almost the entire Bible. The sun and the moon is referring to the people of Israel. You look at Joseph. What did he say in his dream? He said, the sun and the moon and all the stars and the 12 stars will bow down to me. And they all said, "Are you?" And without him explaining it, they said, the people said, are you telling us that Jacob and your mother are going to bow down and us sons are going to bow down to you? And that's when all the stuff broke loose. Because he told them that. But for throughout history, you talk to most Jews today, and they will tell you the sun, moon, and stars refers to them, the children of Israel. So the sun shall no more be your light of day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light. Salvation, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, your sun, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning shall be ended, your people shall be righteous, they shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The branch, go through scripture, the branch, the Holy One of Israel, the righteous one, Jesus. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will hasten it. Ah, salvation is so amazing. We are Mount Zion. We have come to Mount Zion, the salvation. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. It says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. To verse 38. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city shall be rebuilt for the Lord from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate, and the measuring line shall go out further straight to the hill Gareb, and shall then turn to Goa. The whole valley of the dead bodies and the ashes and all the fields as far as the brook Kidron, to the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be sacred to the Lord. It shall not be plucked out or overthrown any more forever. Is it literally talking about all this space where the city would be rebuilt? Considering that it hasn't been. And it talks about it in context. It says that this is the covenant, that he's going to rebuild this city, and the covenant is the new covenant, the covenant being our salvation, and that we are called Mount Zion instead of Jerusalem. Do you see this? It's the Bible being in context with the Bible. We look at verses being in context with the chapter, but it also has to be in context with the whole scripture, the whole Bible. And when we start to see that the city of Zion is referring to not the city of Zion in Jerusalem, but the city of Zion that's within us, then a lot of these things start to become a little bit more clear. Because then also we can look at 1 Peter chapter 2, since we've been spending so much time in the Old Testament. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone. a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him, in who? In the stone that was laid in Zion. In him will not be put to shame. Where's Zion? If this is literally a city of Zion, like Jerusalem, that means that Jesus is the cornerstone of that city. But he's the cornerstone of our salvation. Why? Because we have come to Mount Zion, the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We could even go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, John, the apostle, he saw from heaven coming down a city, the heavenly Jerusalem. Did he see the heavenly Jerusalem coming down in a literal 1,500 by 1,500 mile square city? Maybe. See, it was 1,500 mile cubed. Or did he see the salvation with us coming to Mount Zion, just like the writer of Hebrews did? Are we now, are we that city? Well, according to Hebrews chapter 12, we are. We are the heavenly Jerusalem. So that's what the hill of the Lord is. The hill of the Lord, Mount Zion, our salvation. How wonderful. So then it says, and who may stand in his holy place? Who is qualified to be in God's presence? He who has clean hands, pure heart. If you look at the tabernacle that was built or the temple, the only people that were allowed to step into the building were the Levitical priests. And in order to do so, they had to have a clean hands and pure heart. It's the only way. If they didn't, they could be struck down dead immediately. So they had a purification ritual. The first of that being, if you remember my whole drawing, I'm not going to draw it now, but the whole drawing of the tabernacle, which we will be going back into that series sometime, I just don't know when yet. You have the tabernacle, and in the outer courts there was the brazen altar, and then there was the laver. The brazen altar was for sacrifices, because blood had to be spilt for the remission of sins. It had to be, there had to be blood spilt, but then blood gets on your hands. So the blood took care of the heart. So then they had the laver there in order to wash your hands, to be clean, so that the Levites could go into the holy place. And it washed away their guilt. It washed away their conscience for the time being. And they went into the holy place, and they were able to minister before the Lord. So when we look at the whole thing, I could read to you the entire chapters of Hebrews. Do you want me to? No. But you can go to it. Hebrews chapter 8 and 9 especially talk about the tabernacle and what was happened, and the old covenant and the new covenant and the better covenant. It talks about all these things, and it tells us how we can go into these places with clean hands and a pure heart. I could have a whole message right now on the brazen altar. I could have a whole message on the laver. The laver is amazing because it was this bronze bowl that had water in it. And the priests were cleaned by that water. Then Jesus comes along and he says to his disciples in John chapter 15, it might be later on. Oh, look, it is later on. Hey, let's just pause for a minute. Delete the last 2 minutes. We had Hebrews 8 and 9 talk about the tabernacle. And so now where did the temple sit? In Mount Zion. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may enter into the holy place? Mount Zion is where the tabernacle sat, or the temple sat. And so the temple is on top of Mount Zion. So who goes there? Well, salvation is us coming to Mount Zion, and we come by way of the brazen altar and by way of the laver, and then we can enter into the holy place. It's a process. There's a lot of people who spend all their days just living in that realm of salvation, not knowing that there's the whole presence of God that they can enter into. And so we stay there at the brazen altar thinking, well, I'm not pure enough. I have too much on me that is not allowing me into the presence of God, into a place where I can minister before Him and He can minister to me. And we feel that we are unworthy. Now, our heart is dealt with, but have you dealt with the hands? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6. This is Isaiah. He sees a vision of the temple, of the throne of God, and he comes to it, and they say, who am I going to send? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. But then he says, but I am a worthless soul. I am so dirty. I have unclean lips. And so one of the seraphim flew to me. One of the angels flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. Continue on, please. Let us draw near with a true heart and full of... Isaiah chapter 6, sorry. I forgot that I gave you those things and not the other way. Isaiah chapter 6. I know. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. So from the brazen altar, the angel has taken tongs and taken a coal and touched his lips and said, you are now clean. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, you can carry on that list that I gave you. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we have the altar, the brazen altar, where we get cleansed in our heart, and then our bodies are washed with pure water. This is the laver. So you look at the laver, and it is this bronze bowl, as I already said, filled with water. And the bronze, if you look in the book of Exodus, when it talks about the bronze laver, it is bronze that's made out of the mirrors from the ladies in the people of Israel. And you see that with Jesus, he says to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 3, already you have been clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. And from that, the word has cleansed these disciples. And it says just a couple chapters later that the words that Jesus was speaking at this time was not just for them, but also for all those who heard the words. And the word makes us clean. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and it says that we with unveiled face look into the word, look into the mirror with unveiled face, and we see the image that we are being transformed into. The very image. It's a mirror. The word is a mirror, and the word sprinkles us clean. It's the laver. And then after that, we are allowed into the holy place. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. I sure hope you're taking notes. If not, go back and watch it again. Husbands, love your wives. That's usually where we stop, because it's a good message for Father's Day. Hint, hint. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Oh, wait, this isn't about husbands. It's not about wives. It's about the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Just so you know, in verse 32 it says, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So when I said that it's not about the husbands and wives, it's not. It's about Christ and the church. But he washes us with the sprinkling of the Word of God. Why do I love the Word of God so much? Because it makes me pure. Always. Always. So the process of ascending the hill of the Lord and standing in the holy place is the same. We need to have pure hearts. We need to have clean hands. The thing is that under the new covenant, it's not you and I that have to make our hearts pure and our hands clean. It's Jesus. He already did it for us. He already did it for us. You are qualified. And that means that the rest of the verses in Psalm 24 that we read, those four verses that we're dealing with, they qualify, you are qualified for them. And that starts in verse 5. He will receive blessing from the Lord. He who has pure hands and a clean heart, which Jesus did for you, will receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. As a child of God, this benefit is immediate. He took on all sin so that you could be the righteousness of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 to 17. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hand and on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Should be shouting and praising God right there. That is a quote from Jeremiah 31, 34. The righteousness that we receive, the blessings of the Lord that we receive. Romans chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, which is quoting Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. This is us. When we have received salvation, he no longer counts our sin against us because we have the righteousness of God living in us. It's the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10, 22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. As a child of God, you have qualifications within you to receive the blessings of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? Do you really believe the things of the Lord? Do you really believe the promises that he gives you? I have people say, well, how come that person is blessed and I'm not? Check your belief system. Check your belief system. Who do you trust? Do you trust the bank or the government, or do you trust God? Do you trust your friends to give you peace, or do you trust God? Do you trust your families to give you peace? Do you trust your families to give you love? Do you trust your families to give you this and that and the other thing, or your friends, or anyone in this world? It's God. It's God who gives it. That's why in the time of grief you can have peace. You can have joy. He says straight out, I will take your mourning away from you. Did you know that a promise in our salvation is no more tears? Did you know that? We are supposed to have joy. Yet you look around, I see a lot of faces that don't know you have joy. I was thinking of different words. That one brings the most peace. Do you have joy? Now, does the world out there know that you have joy? Do you have peace that passes all understanding? Or do you have the anxiety that the world knows? I think I'm speaking to a lot of people here today. We have something within the promises of God that is beyond this world. We have love that passes all understanding. We have peace that passes all understanding. We have joy that passes all understanding. We have faithfulness that's beyond all understanding. We have long-suffering and patience. What do you do when you go to a restaurant and it takes forever for your food? What do you do when you're waiting in traffic? What do you do when your wife takes forever to get ready? Or husband, depending on your family. What do you do? Do you get mad? Or do you have patience that passes all understanding? We have self-control that passes all understanding. That's why when someone strikes you on the cheek, you can allow them to strike your other. We have grace that's beyond all understanding. We have judgment that is beyond all understanding. Because we don't judge as the world judges. I'm trying to make sure that I hit everyone. Because there is so much attributes of God that you have that you ain't showing. That I ain't showing. And we have the very nature and the very likeness of God because of our salvation. So now I am not telling you that when a relative passes away that you should be jumping up for joy. But at the same time, the Bible says that much greater is the death of his saints than the birth of them. Read it, it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. So you have to read the whole thing. I'm sorry. We do have emotions. But do you let the emotions control you or do you control your emotions? We have this power. It is beyond all understanding. But we have it within us. Do you have a tendency to be more negative than you do positive? It's not about positive thinking. It's about godly thinking. So then I tell you that whatever comes against you, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says that whatever comes against you, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. If you are not patient, then make it obedient to Christ. I am patient because I have Christ living within me. I have joy because I have Christ living in me. I have love because I have Christ living within me. I have everything that God gives me because I have every spiritual gift, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Maybe. That's off my notes. The blessings are for the righteous. Are you righteous? Under the new covenant, the righteousness is from faith, not the law. Romans chapter 3, 21 to 22. For God has done what the law... Wait, what? What was that one? Why is it out of order? Okay. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. So, if you think righteousness has to do with what you do, then you're wrong. You know why? Because my spirit is pure. My spirit is righteous. But my body and my soul has to catch up. So I can do things in the flesh that are contrary to the spirit, but my spirit is still righteous before God. It is beyond understanding. I understand that. Thank you. It is the global day of laughter, so thank you. But it is. It's beyond. It's how can I be righteous when I just did that? Well, it's not my body that is righteous. It's not my mind that is righteous. It's my spirit that is righteous. Righteousness comes from God. Did I get through that? But now, I'll go back to the other one. I want to read it again because it's good. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, they bear witness to the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God through faith in Christ is in Christ Jesus for all who believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? Because that's where righteousness comes from. That's all it takes. I believe. Wow. If that's not the case, then you better take it up with Abraham. Because the Bible says all over the place that Abraham had belief and it was counted to him as righteousness. So do you believe? Good, then it's counted to you as righteousness. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, it's in the Spirit. So my spirit is righteous. Was that thunder I heard? That was a good place for it. So the blessings of the law are received by faith, not works. And what are the blessings of the law? Are you ready? This gets amazing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. And by the time I'm done this, you should be standing and shouting. Except you're Canadian, so you won't. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, that is what's called the righteous requirements of the law, which have been fulfilled in Christ. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. What is the voice of the Lord your God? The Spirit talking to you. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself as he has sworn to you if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Just pause there for a second. I love this verse because of the fruit of your cattle. I have cats. I have cats that like to wander. And there are times that my cats wander so much that they don't come back in the day or in the morning when we open the door the first time. And quite often, I have stood at my door and said, Lord, you have promised that my cattle are blessed. My herd or my cats, do not try to herd cattle, or cats, I mean, because it's completely fruitless. But when you have the Lord on your side, I say, Lord, they are my herd, and they will come home. Usually within 5 minutes, they're at the door. Don't tell me that's not God, because I will dispute it through Scripture. It is amazing what God will do when you allow your stuff, because it says everything you have will abound in prosperity. Everything you have. Well, this is where you're supposed to be shouting, but that's okay. Go to the next verse. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. Now those last two verses, that's the requirements of the law, which are fulfilled in us because of what Christ did. So the blessing of the Lord makes you rich, and the Lord adds no sorrow to it. You have the blessings on you. Wow! So, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart does not lift his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him. Seek Him, you will find Him. Who seek the face of the God of Jacob. I urge you strongly, seek the face of the God of Jacob. What is the face of God of Jacob? Jesus. Jesus Himself. And He is the one that brings us to that place where we qualify to enter into His holy place. If you have received salvation by faith in what God did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, then you qualify to ascend the hill of the Lord and to stand in His holy place. Father, thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the blessings that You have given us and that You have made us to be blessed. You have made us to be righteous. You have made us so that we have access right into Your presence where You can minister to us and we can minister to You. And so, Father, I pray that each one here would receive Your blessings and they would know what it means to be the righteousness of God and the benefits that come through. So, Lord, may we not seek after the benefits, but may we seek after You, knowing that the benefits come shortly after. I want to enter into a time of communion, because now, if you have followed this message, you'll recognize that you are worthy. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are worthy. And that is as simple as believing. It does not have to do with a prayer that you pray. It does not have to do with asking for forgiveness. Because recognizing that He has done this and believing in it brings us the forgiveness. It brings all these things. Why? Because it's not of works. It's of faith in Him, of believing that He has counted you righteous, that He has not counted His sins against you. And so when we distribute the emblems, please hold on to them. But believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Terrell and others are going to distribute. Jen is going to sing. Take a moment and ponder what has been said. I'm going to speak a little bit more in regards to the communion. But please, be blessed as you receive from Him.
Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb, and every burden's getting lighter, and every cloud is silver light. There the sun is always shining, and there no tears will dim the eye, passion, maybe through.
I take pride in knowing humans and how they react. So I would assume that a lot of you looked at this when you got the cup and said, why is this not purple grape juice? And from your smiles, I know it could have happened. But God laid it on my heart today because of this. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I want you to notice, go back to verse 18 there, Charmin, please. It says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They shall be white as snow. It's not you who become white as snow. Your sins are as white as snow. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Chapter 2, verse 2. He is the propitiation. That means He's the payment, the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 to 14. Is there 10 to 14 by any chance? It's a good verse, but we'll get to it. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We have been sanctified. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time, church, that means everything in the future is all time. Everything in the past is all time. Everything in the present is all time. He offered a single sacrifice for sins. He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until His enemies should be made a footstool for His feet. For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. You have been sanctified. We just read that in verse 10. But by a single offering, He has perfected you for all time. You are perfect. You are sanctified. But again, that's your spirit, your body and your soul, your mind, your will and your emotions needs to catch up to the perfection that's in the spirit. when you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, when you accepted Him as a friend and a brother, He made you worthy to ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in His holy place. And for that reason, what I have received from the Lord, I have given to you. That on the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat and be blessed." And in the same manner, after supper, He took the cup and He said, "This is a symbol of my blood, which is for you. It's a symbol of the new covenant." The new covenant where the blood is better than that of Abel. And it cries out. It's a better word. And it says, "You are clean. Your sins, though they be as scarlet, are as white as snow." Let us partake together. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we receive because of the body, because of the blood. And I pray, Lord God, that you will bless each and every one because of their belief in you, because you have counted them righteous. And so, Lord, as we depart today, may you become real to us, and may we recognize that the blood has never, and will never, lose its power. Amen and amen. God bless you richly as you go. If you need prayer, please come forward and we will pray with you and for you. Do not forget tonight at 6 o'clock, food, fun, fellowship. God bless you.